This year marks the centennial of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote, although black women, well, we'll get to that. The history of women's voting rights is as complicated as this country's. Yesterday, President Trump pardoned suffragist Susan B. Anthony, who was arrested for voting illegally, a pardon her devoted fans immediately rejected. They said she was proud of her arrest. Elizabeth Cady Stanton refused to extend her fight for the 19th Amendment, a vote for women, to the 15th, a vote for black men, and she made it clear when she said women, she meant white. Black women suffragists were often told to march at the back of a protest, and yet Sojourner Truth, formerly enslaved, carried her fight against slavery into suffrage with her famous Ain't I a Woman speech, and worked with both Anthony and Stanton, despite severe differences over the black right to vote. Pretty generous. Well, next week, sculptor and historian Meredith Bergman will show us what she imagines that might have looked like. She'll unveil the first ever statue of real women in New York Central Park. How can that be? There's a statue of Alice in Wonderland. But Meredith's gorgeous work, we'll have a picture at herenow.org, is a 14-foot-tall bronze monument of Sojourner Truth, Susan B. Anthony, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Meredith joins us from New York. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
And also with us today, historian Susan Ware. Her new book is American Women's Suffrage, Voices from the Long Struggle for the Vote, 1776 to 1965. Susan, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
And Meredith, in 2003, you created the Boston Women's Memorial. We'll post a picture of that as well. It features Abigail Adams, Phyllis Wheatley, and Lucy Stone. But you read a lot to work on this one. What did you need to find out?
Well, when you're making a portrait of someone who is deep in history, with whom you can't talk, of whom there might not be casual photographs, you need to try to understand what they looked like when they were feeling things that were not in the photography studio, what they understood, what they were perplexed by, and you have to try to get inside their heads and their lives in order to portray them and bring them to life in sculpture.
And you picture them in your work, which is called the Women's Rights Pioneers Monument. They are either seated or standing around a table. Sojourner Truth's hands are open as if she's, what, making a point, pleading, strategizing?
I think it should be open to the visitor's interpretation. I think they are definitely strategizing, discussing. They might be arguing. I don't know what Elizabeth Cady Stanton is about to write down. Anthony is handing a document that says Votes for Women to Stanton, but she may have just been talking to Sojourner Truth. And Sojourner Truth and Anthony are both looking at Stanton, and perhaps they're ganging up on her. I don't know. I wanted it to be a moment in the midst of a conversation.
There's also what has been described as little Easter eggs, surprises, hidden surprises. Stanton's dress has sunflower motifs.
When Stanton began to write editorials and publish them, she didn't dare use her own name because of her parents', especially her father's, disapproval. She was quite young. And she signed them Sunflower. And then that flower later became an emblem of the suffrage movement.
Susan, you have devoted your life to these women. The notion that there's, what, maybe 10 statues of women across the country, maybe I'm exaggerating, but and that one of them to these women is finally going to be in such a prominent place, your thoughts?
It makes me happy and proud and also, you know, disappointed that it took the centennial of the 19th Amendment before we had a monument like this. You know, like so many other things in women's history and suffrage history, we can mark and celebrate what's been accomplished, and yet it's a reminder often of how far we still have to go.
And by the way, according to the Smithsonian American Art Museum's Art Inventories Catalog, there's only about 7% of over 5,000 public outdoor statues that are women. The rest are men. But Sojourner Truth, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony.
Well, I think the most important thing is having them all in the same frame of reference, because each in their own way was so central. You have Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who form, I think, one of the great political friendships and partnerships of all time. And Sojourner Truth comes from a different path, but also one that intersects, especially with Stanton and Anthony in the years before the Civil War, the abolition movement. And I think the the power of having these three women together is that it shows the roots of women's suffrage and women's rights in the struggle to free the slaves. No better symbol of that than Sojourner Truth.
What do you imagine they're saying?
Oh, they have to be talking about strategy and who their friends are and who their enemies are, what they can do next. Is it this law in the New York State Legislature? Is it this convention that we're convening in Cincinnati? They've got so much that they want to do. In some ways, the funny thing about the monument is that they're in repose because all three of these women were women in motion. And I see them as standing in for the hundreds, thousands of women who participated in this movement.
By the way, Susan, just very briefly, why didn't Black women benefit from the 19th Amendment that Sojourner Truth fought for?
Well, African-American women were very much part of the women's suffrage movement. You don't need to tell Black women about the importance of the vote because they have seen it taken away from their men in the aftermath of the Civil War. But unfortunately, the 19th Amendment, when it's passed, has little bearing on where the vast majority of African Americans, male and female, live, which is in the American South. And there, the women, when they try to vote, and they do try to vote, are subject to the same Jim Crow restrictions that have been put in place to keep African American men from voting. And so it's very important as we mark this milestone in women's history to remember that it is an incomplete one, that it really has an asterisk with it, and that for African American women, it was the Voting Rights Act of 1965, not the 19th Amendment, that finally guaranteed their right to vote.
Mm-hmm. Meredith Bergman, back to your monument. It is so beautiful. I'm looking at different details. All their hands seem to be doing something. Your hands had to mold it in clay first before you cast it. What's that like to shape these women and then stand back?
Well, when I stand back in the middle of the working process, I'm just seeing mistakes, seeing things that need to be fixed. But it is daunting and it is kind of awe-inspiring to make something so much larger than yourself. Anthony is the one who's standing and she's 9 feet tall. It's quite an involved process, and I actually made the monument three times, first as a little maquette, then as a one-third height model, and then jumping up to the full size.
And in one of the original ideas that you had, Stanton and Anthony were holding a scroll on which were the names of other suffragists. You had Ida B. Wells and Anna Julia Cooper. I mean, what's the plan now? The nonprofit Monumental Women was behind this. Is the goal to get more monuments to these monumental women?
Well, Monumental Women worked for 6 years to win this site and get this monument done. And their plan is to create a women's history trail throughout New York City and to present a challenge and help and guidance to other municipalities and the rest of New York City in erecting more statues. I did want to say that the women are not exactly in repose. They are sitting on the edge of their seats. And Susan B. Anthony has just arrived. She's come in from organizing, wearing her traveling dress with her big bag full of pamphlets for debate.
They're not having tea. They're not. Right. Yeah, they're not sitting back. They are, as you said, they're leaning in.
Yes.
And well, they're like vibrating.
And there is an underlying message, which is that this work is not finished. And as Susan says at the end of her wonderful book, Why They Marched, that feminism is cumulative and ongoing, and that's why they are sitting on the edges of their seats.
And why they're talking to each other and giving us a model of conversations that happened back then and need to continue happening today as we try and move things forward.
Mm. That's author and historian Susan Ware. And we've also been speaking with sculptor Meredith Bergman, whose Women's Rights Pioneers Monument showing Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Sojourner Truth will be the first monument in Central Park to honor women who were real. It'll be unveiled August 26th. We have pictures at hereandnow.org. It's really quite something.
And by the way, we are all going to be able to watch the unveiling of this live, and it's happening at 8 in the morning, which is, I'm not really a morning person, but the thought of getting up on the day of National Equality Day, the day that we're celebrating the centennial, and starting the day with the unveiling of this statue is just so profound. And we can all share this moment. Even if we can't be together physically, we are there virtually. And there is a power to that.
We'll link everybody up at hearnow.org. We'll share that moment. And I'm certain some tears will be shed. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Robin.
You're very welcome, Robin. Thank you. Thank you for paying attention to this project.
Yes.
Again, the unveiling of the monument is next Wednesday, August 26th at 8 a.m. We'll link you with ways to watch on the Monumental Woman website and Facebook page. And again, the first statue depicting real women in Central Park and the very first to depict an African-American. Work not finished, indeed.